Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service. We continue our series around St. Paul's letter to the Galatians. Our speaker is Mike Gillingham, reader at St. James, and today the talk is entitled Saved by Grace, Trapped by Effort. Our readings are taken from Galatians 3 verses 1 to 14 and Colossians 2 verses 6 to 15. You can watch the whole service on our YouTube channel, which is linked on our website.
So we're going to have our two reading, and it's a privilege to ask Adrian's to join me for our first reading. It's such a joy to have Adrian. It's a lot of practice, Adrian, but you've really worked very hard. Yep. So we're going to do that together. And you're going to start, so if you go by the microphone, I have my own microphone, there we go.
And now, just as you accept Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him, and let life be built on him, then your faith will grow strong in the truth. You were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness.
So do not let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world, rather than from Christ. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in human body. So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head of every ruler and authority. When you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature.
For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life, beginning you trusted the mighty power of God who raised from the dead. You were dead because of your sins. Then God made you able with Christ, for he forgiven all our sins.
And so he cancelled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well done. Then Eileen, if you can come for the next reading.
I'm reading from Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 to 14. Faith or observance of the law? You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Have you suffered so much for nothing? If it really was for nothing, does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you heard? Consider Abraham. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announced the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. All who rely on observing the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Clearly, no one is justified before God by the law, because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, the man who does those things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from a curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Your word, and it may speak to our lives. Amen. There is, as Fabian said, considerable overlap with last week, and that's because it's a very important message. And every so often, you need to have things repeated to you. In teaching, I didn't teach people important things once, but again and again and again. And perhaps they remembered it. But before we begin looking at that passage, I just want to recall last week's events. I'm sorry about the quality of the photograph. It's not mine. I was hidden away. But do you know, when the Prince Orlando overcame the wicked fairy, I heard people call out, "Kill her!" And that some of them are in front of me now. But we are all about forgiveness. And it's one of the lovely things about this particular pantomime script, that the wicked fairy and even the dubious cat are forgiven. And we cheered for it. And possibly that might be a starter for a conversation with somebody at some time who came to the pantomime and doesn't understand that we are all about forgiveness. So the key to our belief is that people can be forgiven. That's the very heart of Christianity. Now, I've got in front of me many people I care for deeply, and I regard you as my friends. So how can I start by saying, Paul doesn't mince his words. He calls the Galatians his brothers and sisters, but he calls them fools. And whenever we look at criticism of others, we must look in the mirror. Not, "That was a good sermon, Vicar. I'm glad they were here to hear it." But we need to hear it, each of us. So Paul asked the Galatians some questions. Question one, how did your faith begin? How about us? Well, I remember a time when I used to compare myself with others and think, they're not so good, and I'm probably a bit better than them, so that's okay, isn't it? And my first step was to realize that I needed to be forgiven. And he then asked them, Have you seen miracles? Well, perhaps I've not seen many miracles, but I've seen answers to prayer, things that I would never expect. And if you haven't seen answers to prayer, try praying so that you would know your prayer was answered. Not just vague bless whoever, but for particular answers to prayer. And then perhaps you will see that that little tiny faith that when you ask for forgiveness can result in tremendous answers from God. There are too many what I call slot machine religions. You know what a slot machine is? You put your money in and out comes a drink or whatever, usually. Sometimes they break down. And a lot of religions are like that. You put something in and you get something out because you put it in. Our dear Jehovah's Witness friends think they may gain a place in heaven by working hard at making people follow them. If you find the writing difficult to understand, it's because this is in Italy. Okay? But it's a slot machine religion. It's amazing that they still believe that, considering that they've had to backtrack on so many beliefs. The world didn't end in 1914, 1984, or indeed any of the other times it's been predicted. And they've now had to alter the 144,000 because it's occurred to them that there have been more Jehovah's Witnesses than that. And it's a bit sad now if you're trying to get into heaven and it's already full. Oh dear. But there are others. So many others where you make an offering and you get something out. Buddhism, you gain merit by making offerings to monks or becoming one for a time. Hinduism, again, you go to the temple, you make an offering, and you expect to receive in return. Even modern-day weird beliefs like Wicca, you make an offering because you hope that there will be an answer. The slot machine religion. And ours is not like that. But we must look in the mirror. Are we tempted to think that we can do something and we deserve an answer? God must answer our prayer because we do this, because we do that, because we do the other. And Paul tackles head on the Jewish traditions. Now, I suppose I knew, but I didn't really realize it, that when he talks about Abraham, he's not a Jew. The Jews are the children of his grandson. Other nations claim descent from Abraham, for instance, the Arabs. He's not a Jew. He had no knowledge of the law. That came hundreds of years later. He had no idea about all the Ten Commandments and everything else. And he wasn't circumcised. In fact, it says, Abraham believed the Lord and he credited to him as righteousness. And I haven't made a spelling mistake. Do you spot it? It's Abraham, not Abraham. God gave Abraham the name Abraham later. This is in the early days. Abraham trusted in God and he was made righteous. That's the start of the whole Jewish religion. And it affects us because it also says, notice how early this is, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And so we have been through Jesus. We have been blessed through Abraham because he trusted God. That's where true religion starts, trusting in God. Now, I want to give an illustration. Suppose you want to cross the Atlantic Ocean. There are two ways. You're offered two ways. You can board an aeroplane, which will fly you there. You have to have faith in the aeroplane that it really will. And perhaps for some people, that's quite hard, actually. Some people won't fly because they don't really trust these newfangled plane things. But there is an alternative. You can swim. Consider your chances carefully. Which way are you going to choose? What are the chances of even the best Olympic athlete of swimming several thousand miles? None. And that's the trouble with the law. Your chances of being absolutely perfect are nil. You might be good, you can be better than me, that's no challenge. But to be perfect, that's impossible. And just a little thought about this plane. It's got no first and second class, no business class. We're all lumped together. And there's occasional ones who think they're the only ones on board. They haven't looked round. But we're all in this together. So Paul asks, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Or who has fascinated you? What drew you away? What was so wonderful that it delayed you away? Now, there can be all sorts of things. And if I'm pick on particular things, it's because I've seen them in action. There's so many examples of delusions, of forgiveness and delayed baptism. Constantine, who you may have heard of, the first emperor to become a Christian, delayed his baptism till his deathbed because he thought that baptism was the thing that made him forgiven. And there were lots of early Christians who did this. It is faith in God and baptism. No. I do encourage people who are going forward to baptism. It's a wonderful step, but it's not what makes you a Christian. People, this is quite important, actually, for some people whose child dies without baptism because they died so early. It may be comfort to know that baptism is not the requirement. A second blessing. Did you know that Wesley thought that there was a second blessing? And if you look at his hymn, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling, it talks about fixing us thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown. Take away our love of sinning, Alpha and Omega be. End of faith is its beginning. He believes that after you are forgiven and accepted by God, there is a second step. And some Pentecostal people will believe that today. No, there is only one step to faith, forgiveness. And by forgiveness, we enter it. Forbidding drinking, the theatre, dancing, etc., etc., etc. As a young Christian, I came across books that told me that I shouldn't do this, that, the other. You could make a list as long as you like about this, but no, it is forgiveness that does it. Forgiveness. We're all forgiven. Ecclesiastical dress. Well, you can see what I think about that. But as always, the real question is for each of us. Oh, sorry, language in prayers, yes. Is what bewitches us? What fascinates me? what leads me away from that reliance on forgiveness. And it's important because of the consequences. And what might those consequences be? I've seen that here. Seeing churches split from the real goodies and the just passes. This in Galatia was the Christians and those who also kept the law. No, we're Christians together. You're Christian or you're not Christian. It can affect our personal faith. Well, am I doing it right? Do I need to do more? Surely there's something, and it can take our attention away from trusting God and asking for forgiveness towards, I need to do this, I need to do that, I need to do the other. And it can act as a barrier to conversion. If we say, you need to come to Christ and you need to do this, that and the other, it can put a barrier that should not be there. All we need to ask of people is that they come to Christ to ask for forgiveness. And Paul continues, if the law could have saved us, Christ had no need to die. After all, the law had been there for about 800 years, or is it 1,000? I'm looking for Fabian. I didn't look it up. Yes, hundreds of years anyway, the law had been around. Yet Christ had to die, because that wasn't good enough. Only Christ dying saved people, before he came and after, us with them. But Paul presents us Christ, curse for us, bearing our curse because we could not keep the law. And because Christ did this, we can be blessed with Abraham. We are Abraham's real children. Just as you might insult someone by saying, son of a bitch, this is a great thing. We are children of Abraham, because like him, we have trusted in God, and it's counted to us as righteousness. So we are part of that great family of Abraham's children. What a thing to believe. Let's pray. Oh Lord, as we've come to you in confession for our sins and been told we are forgiven, may that message be on our hearts and our minds, and may we be enabled to spread that message so there may be more children of Abraham here. Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.